Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Coming in after a few good wins, teams playing well, closing out games.
Oh yeah, I mean, get the duck boats ready, right? Like that's as you can't have a better week in the National Hockey League than we just saw from the Bruins. You can't.
The duck boats. Okay, well.
I'm extremely bullish. I love their week. I loved how well they played. I love their pushback yesterday against Florida with them doing their donkey stuff. I love just how they've won all their games, and I loved how they've played defensively. So, of course, someone might want to call in and talk about how bad the power play is, but beyond that, you can't say anything negative about what's going on right now.
Yeah, and they did score on the power play. It wasn't that it was a pretty power play. It wasn't none of their power plays.
Yeah,
were
hopefully,
pretty power plays,
I'm using that. I'm saying that maybe that's the catalyst. They finally got an ugly one, and now they're going to really get cooking. But it's odd because their team, you know, individually, all five of those guys have gotten going. The Marchands of the world, but they haven't put it together yet on the PP.
Yeah, and the one they got, it was like so simple, right? Like clean entry by Pastrnak. Was over the marsh and hits Coyle driving down the slot. And it's like, should be able to do that more often.
Should be. Their entries are really good. Their entries are good. They're just not making two passes to break the pressure once they get in the zone. And that's, it's hard to watch because it's so frustrating. And it makes it feel so much worse than just a standard not getting a goal on the power play, going 0-for. So again, they've got to fix that. They've got to at least create some momentum off their power play in a couple weeks. But fortunately, they have a 5-point lead on the division now and can work on, really focus on that with some practice time.
Yeah, and you're still able to win those games, even though you're not
exactly
scoring on the power play. And these are playoff teams. Like,
yeah,
those wins are against Florida.
Exactly. You can't say, the power play's really got to get going, because when they play good teams like Florida and Carolina and Nashville on the road, I mean, the power play's going to need to be good. Well, no, they've just done that without a power play. So, they've protected themselves. They've insulated themselves a little bit with that.
Yeah, and really just the way they're playing in general is so encouraging over this last stretch. Like, they've matched Florida's physicality. They match Washington's physicality, Nashville. Like, these are physical teams where you have to be physical in order to beat them, and they have. And they've locked in defensively. They're not giving up the odd man rushes we saw them give up so long for, like, stretches of the season. They're protecting the net front better. Even when teams get some zone time, they're mostly keeping them to the outside. So, four games left, you know, a couple spread over really 2 weeks before they get to game one of the playoffs. And this is how they have to play. Like, we're finally seeing it. You know, as you guys know, like, I've been pretty negative on some of these shows coming in because I just felt like the the incomplete efforts were piling up, were too frequent. But as long as you're going to lock in before the playoffs, like, you can forget about that stuff. And they have. And they've gotten better in third periods. We've seen them extend leads, protect leads, handle pressure situations better. Like, even the four-minute kill in overtime against Washington, winning in overtime against Florida last night. I know, you know, technically that goes down as a blown third-period lead because they give up a goal early in the third period. But I didn't think that was a bad third period for the Bruins. Like, that, you know, it's a 4-on-4. It's a rebound that just goes lands right on Barkov's stick perfectly, and he buries it, you know, good play. But I thought the Bruins had chances after that. I didn't think they gave up a ton to Florida. Get it to overtime, and then great play by Jesper Bogvist with the steal, the finish. So, you know, it's hard not to start feeling really good about this team because they're doing it against some of the top teams in the league. And, yes, playoffs are still going to be another level. You're still going to have to raise your game again. But they certainly look like a team that's getting close to the way you have to play to have success in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're playing simple, like much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie McAvoy talked about it after the game. He said, we're playing simple, boring hockey, though I would disagree with the boring part because that was actually a very entertaining game. When you play the Panthers, you always get the pushing and the scrums after the plays. So if you paid money to go to that game, you saw a good one. You saw what you wanted, the outcome you wanted. You saw the physicality, and you saw your team playing up to the task of, you know, beating the second best team in your division.
You certainly got your money's worth yesterday, and Florida, you know, provides that most nights. Just especially if you like ratty scrums. It was, the Bruins get outshot 13-5, but I felt like seven of those shots were on the 4-on-4 prior to the goal. Like they that one shift, they had four or five shots. It didn't feel like they were under siege in any way in that third period, to your point of how well they've been closing out games. And the simpleness is, again, I've been harping on it since game three of the playoffs last season. You can't make plays. There's just too many times you can't make plays in your own zone looking for the middle of the ice in playoff time. It's just too quick. You get away with it in October, November, December when games are a little sleepier and teams are a little sleepier. But I've loved the fact that they've kind of adapted or changed their mindset a little bit defensively on the fly here, because it is obvious how much easier it is for them to play. They're not giving pucks, turning pucks over. They're not trying to make these plays to the middle of the ice when it's not there. And I think what it's done, too, is it's made the plays to the middle of the ice more effective because they're not going to it four times a shift. It's four times a period they're using that middle of the ice, and it's become more effective. The rest of it, it's punt and chase. And that's how Florida, that's how Las Vegas won a Stanley Cup last year, is punt and chase. You need to do it nowadays. And the Bruins defense have done an amazing job of doing that.
Yeah. It's highly reliant on the defense buying into that. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like,
yeah,
those are the guys that had to simplify things.
And the forwards not being frustrated by it. Because there is a little bit of that, too, where the forwards, I think, last season especially, saying we're so good we should be able to make two passes and you should put it on my stick and I don't have to go forecheck and I don't want to go into the neutral zone chasing guys down. It's harder. But I think this group has, at least in the last few weeks, they've been chasing pucks a lot more and it's been a lot more effective.
Yeah, I remember I asked Jim Montgomery about kind of that philosophy. This is probably like a month and a half ago, about, you know, how do you balance wanting to exit the zone with possession, either carrying it out or passing it out, versus just flipping and off the glass and going to chase in the neutral zone? And his answer at that time was basically, well, ideally you always want to carry it out. Like, you always want to have possession. It's more surefire than the flip and then turn into a 50-50 battle in the neutral zone. But obviously there's times you have to. And I do feel like there's been pretty clear shift these last couple of weeks where they're just more willing to flip it out under pressure, whether it's off the glass or up the middle, you know, towards center ice. Now I have a chair
Chairs
falling apart.
Chairs are breaking in here now. What a Sunday.
Yeah. But yeah, they're you can just tell, like, they're clearly doing it more. And if your forwards are buying in and are jumping on those pucks in the neutral zone and winning those battles, then you can turn it into more than a 50-50. Like, you can still flip out with purpose. It doesn't that just have to be a blind flip right to the, you know, defenseman at center ice, who then turns it right back up ice. Like, there can be a purpose to that as well, and you can still win possession or create tie-ups or then win it back and dump it into the offensive zone and then go chase it again. So it's, yeah, like, you have to do that in the playoffs. That was, as you said, like, one of the biggest lessons to take away from last year is you just can't always try to carry it out under pressure and make plays.
Yeah, I just think of the goal in Game 7 where they try and make a play up the right wing to Garnet Hathaway, who's got his back turned right at the Florida bench. They're changing. All it is a flip over on the weak side to get the puck out. They go to Hathaway. Hathaway gets crushed. He gets a puck taken. The puck's in the back of their net in Game 7, 2-1 right away. And that vision in my head, I haven't seen it. I saw it in December. I saw it in January. And against Florida's, against the Carolinas, I'm saying it can't happen that way. But I haven't seen it these past couple of weeks. They have not tried to hit a standing still winger more than four times in the past 2 weeks. They've relied on the opposite ice, the open ice, and putting pucks in that area. And that for me, is the difference and the game changer in a seven-game series for them.
Well, and you even saw that work in the Bruins' favor yesterday on one of their goals. The Panthers did try to make that pass up to the boards to a wing standing still, and Hampus Lindholm keeps it in, and 3 seconds later, the puck's in the back of the net. So, you know, you see the flip side of it right there, too, where Panthers, you know, in that case would have been so much better off just flipping it out, tried to make the pass to the wing, and it cost them. So, yeah, among so many other things, like, clearly one of the good things the Bruins are doing recently, just the intensity level that they've turned up here is so encouraging to see. And it's so weird how, you know, people still view this as like, well, the Panthers are the much more physical team, and can the Bruins match it? And it's like, they've matched it four times this season.
Exactly.
They've beaten them all four times. And yet, like, I obviously, because of what happened in the playoffs last year, the Panthers still have that boogeyman feel, and they will until or unless the Bruins go further than them in the playoffs, whether they're the ones to knock the Panthers out or someone else knocks the Panthers out first. But this idea that, like, the Panthers have their number, I mean, this season just doesn't back that up. And, like, I don't think they're catching the Panthers on bad nights or anything. Like, they're getting the Panthers' best efforts or something very close to it, especially these last two games in the last week and a half. And they're matching them, and they're winning the games.
Yeah, the physicality they're matching, they're matching the verbalness. I don't know if that works, but it sounded okay when it came out. They're just, and you're right, especially the last two, maybe, you know, whatever, we'll give the Florida pass in the first two, that they're still, you know, they're coming to the Garden after their Game 7 and they're feeling good and they didn't really focus, but they wanted to win those last two games. Like, they wanted to win the division. They're not happy that they have to play Toronto in the first round now. That isn't a good matchup for Florida. That is, there's a lot of bad stuff for Florida having to not win the division, and they were on a roll, and they couldn't close out the last two times against Boston. And I think, certainly, as you said, it won't matter when they play in the second round. It's still going to be about how the Bruins didn't close last year. But I think inside of that room, they're going to take a lot of confidence that they're not going to get bullied around by this group. We can play the same kind of game they can. We can make it frenetic and chaotic and still find our way through all of that.
Yeah, and basically, when you look at the standings now, Florida's pretty much out of reach from that first place position, because they have four games left. They'd have to win three of them, and the Bruins would have to lose three in order for them to pass Boston. So
yeah, it's a four.
And lose three in regulation.
Yeah. 4-point magic number, right? Like, the 4 points can't disappear. Yesterday, 3 points disappeared for Florida alone. So yeah, it's very much shaping up a Bruins-Tampa first-round matchup, and I think that's, if nothing, it's going to be hard no matter what for the Bruins, but I like Florida playing Toronto more than Florida getting away from Toronto. I think it makes it really hard for both of those teams for the second round.
Yeah, and definitely want to get into
we have lots of time for the possible
Bruins Lightning first round matchup as we go on here, because that does seem like that's kind of solidifying as going to be the matchup.
It's most likely, but I mean, they could, if they somehow, I mean, they're only 1 point off from the Rangers. If they finish first in the conference, they could be facing one of those wild card teams, which we can get into. There's like a shuffling four different teams that can make that last wild card spot.
Kind of overlooking that, but you're right. It's, you know, it's there. It's there. We could have the Rangers stumble. The Rangers have the Islanders a couple times, but the Rangers have an easy schedule. But you're right.
And the Islanders need to win.
Correct. Yeah.
That's a desperate team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Best place,
so.
Maybe.
We want
President's Trophy if they do that, by the way. We're going to get into that whole thing. Who wants the President's Trophy? Because if they win it again this year, that'll be pretty incredible. If they sneak in at the wire and get a President's Trophy.
Just by 1 point.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right. We want to hear from you. Are you starting to believe in this team? And what does that mean? Like, do you believe in them to get to the second round? Conference finals? Do you think this is a cup contender? And call in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We're going to fix the studio here.
Yeah.
Right there in the break.
A little bit of a rocky start. Yeah. Scott's mic wasn't working, so we're going to fix that.
Do you need that? Do you need a mic?
You kind of do. You kind of need a mic. I was talking to myself for a little bit there.
All right, so we'll be back right after. Bridget has you trending, and then we'll be back after the commercial break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
What do you think you guys have been able to find in terms of finding your game this last week and a half? So
there's a certain simplicity that we have to play. But it allows us to have success, and you know, at times it might be boring, but it's winning hockey, so it's getting the puck behind them, staying above them, you know, being opportunistic, but overall not beating ourselves. You know, everybody at this level knows what's right and knows what's wrong, so it was sort of a little bit of a moment a couple of weeks ago looking at ourselves and you know, identifying like, hey, we know we're beating ourselves. We're giving up things that we shouldn't. So it's really was kind of something that we had to dig deep and be like, we're going to play simple and we're going to play responsible. And, you know, we've done it for a couple weeks now and we've seen some good results. So.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Peru.
With a fixed mic.
With my Bruce Springsteen. I already feel way better about this segment.
We're cooking now.
So that was Charlie McAvoy talking about what we just touched on in the first segment, which is the Bruins just simplifying. He mentioned they had a moment where they kind of had to look at themselves and realize, like, hey, we're just beating ourselves. Obviously, you assume that moment he's talking about was that wake-up call in practice, Montgomery bag skating them. And, you know, I don't want to act like, you know, that's too big of a deal, right? Like, at some point, this team probably would have dialed in and realized what they have to do anyways. But sometimes you just need that kick in the rear from the coach to sort of let you know, like it's time, right? Like, there were 10 games to go at that point. They'd had two incomplete efforts, a really rough third period against Philly in the game, like, 2 days before that. And sometimes you just need the coach to step in and let you know, like, all right, we're not waiting 2, 3, 4 more games. Like, it's happening now. It's time to lock in now. And it really seems like that message got through because they have been so much more dialed in. And, you know, McAvoy touched on it there. I know Charlie Coyle touched on it after the game. Like, it seems like they might have gone there anyways, but that was a really good time for that message.
Well, they're 5-1 since that practice. And the one loss was against Tampa. And in a game that they didn't play horribly, it was the back end of a back-to-back. And, you know, they weren't – that was the one you kind of expected them to lose out of those games. And these were all good teams that they beat, too. Like, these were all playoff teams. Well, technically, the Capitals aren't anymore. We can get to that at some point. But those were tough games that they won. And they have had those 60-minute efforts – since then, and it's hard to overlook like that as a turning point, though, right, Razor? Like, it seems like before that, the practice where Monty yelled at them, to now, there has been a flip, like a switch that has been flipped for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, I mentioned this at the time, like, I think that was fairly premeditated. I know even yesterday he talked about it being emotional, and I'm sure a lot of the words and a lot of the things that came out of his mouth were emotional, but I think everybody within that coach's room and probably the players as well looked at the schedule and said, okay, this is where we need to become playoff ready, become a playoff team. And he might have wanted it the day before the Philly game, and it might have been the Philly game in the third period and the odd man rush with a minute and a half left that was so brutal that really put him over the edge and said, I'm going to destroy these guys on Monday morning. But I think there you could see, and he talked about this yesterday as well, was how the schedule has lined up for this team this season. And it's been a perfect schedule. That March 25th was a perfect day at a perfect time with the schedule, with the 6 games on the road against really good hockey teams to get everybody's attention. And it's all fallen into place. They've gotten through that 6-game stretch. They've gotten better in every game. Their defense is legit. And now you get 4 games over 2 weeks to kind of work through, win a couple of them, get a point in another one, and get everything dialed in real well. So yes, it will be the turning point at the, you know, in game one of the playoffs, because it's proven, this team has proven that they can do it a bit of a different way, and it's not just about winning 5-2.
And still, I would say one more real marquee game to go, with Carolina coming into the Garden on Tuesday, team you just beat and they're building on Thursday. So I'm sure there'll be some motivation for the Hurricanes to want to repay that. So, you know, you're not like totally in the clear in terms of those big, big games. And even
Pittsburgh's going to be a monster game. Pittsburgh's, that game is going to be do or die for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, and you could have them in a playoff matchup, possibly, at that point, too.
You could, and also the Capitals are only 1 point out of a playoff spot, and you play them again.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they do back-to-back. That'll be interesting to see, especially assuming the Bruins will be locked into a position there. It looks like that will happen. It'll be interesting to see if they do the old emergency call-up times eight for, yeah, for those games.
Yeah, and that is the road game of that back-to-back. Correct. So if you're thinking about, hey, save some veterans that trip down to D.C., have them play at home the next night, that would make a lot of sense. Let's go to the phones here. We'll start, of course, with Maria from Watertown, a topic we haven't touched on yet, Justin Brazzo's injury. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I just want to congratulate Brad Marchand on that huge accomplishment. 400 goals for any player, I think, is a significant milestone, but doing it all in the same jersey is even, to me, a bigger accomplishment. So congratulations to him. And with regard to Justin Brazzo, you know, given that we haven't had a lot of information on his injury, if he's out for any significant period of time, where does that impact potentially Patrick Maroon if and when he's ready? And if he's not ready, how do they bridge that gap? And Razor, you're going to hate hearing this from me, but I kind of sort of hope they do the platoon for the playoffs, because I think both of those guys are making a very good case for the opportunity to continue the platoon in the playoffs. So thanks for the time. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks, Maria. Yeah, so let's start with.
I don't hate anybody who likes the platoon, by the way. I'm not judgmental in personal lives in any way whatsoever.
Is there anyone Razor does hate?
No, there's a couple people, but they don't know it.
They don't know it. You can tell them right now if you want. No.
All right, so let's start. We'll get to the goaltending part of it, but let's start with Brazzo's injury. So and Maroon. So the latest on Brazzo is that there really hasn't been much of an update. He was getting more testing done when he got back to Boston. Montgomery was asked on Friday and said he still didn't have any real update. They're calling him week to week. So that could be anything from, hey, there's a chance he's ready for game one, to, you know, could end up being season ending. Like, we just don't know. So hard to project there. I do think it's, you know, listen, obviously he's not one of their top players. He's not one of the stars, but I do think it's an important loss. Like, he had been playing really well for them and had brought elements that they were missing in their bottom six. Now, Pat Maroon can bring some of those, assuming he's healthy. And the latest update there is that they're still targeting next Saturday in Pittsburgh for his debut. So it sounds like he'll get at least one, probably two regular season games in. I doubt he would play both nights of the back-to-back to close out the season. So you'll see where he fits in. I think as long as he's healthy, Pat Maroon's in the lineup, I would think. Like, someone else can get bumped out, because I just think what he can bring with the playoff experience and some of those elements of physicality, holding onto pucks down low, getting to the net front, that you're now going to miss with Brazzo out, kind of think like Maroon almost has to be in.
Yeah, well, you didn't trade for him to just have him sit and
right.
practice. And, you know, there's a key role he's going to play, and the role that he's been brought in to play, which is to be that kind of spark physically in the bottom six. And you talk about, oh, who might have to come out, especially now as Brazzo, which I said this to you the other day, week to week is my least favorite designation for like an injury, because it could mean 7 days or it can mean 2 months. Like it's such a big difference between you knowing like, okay, this is long term or this is day to day. It could be anywhere in between. It's very vague. So we don't know if we're going to see Brazzo before the playoffs, in the playoffs. We haven't got an update since that last game where he flew back from the road trip. But anyway, Razor, I guess to get your thoughts on where Maroon would slot in and how important Brazzo, like how big of a loss it is.
Yeah, I agree with all of that with Maroon. I just a little asterisk on that is how quickly or how well he ramps up, you know, like where he's at. But he has the absolute inside track on that position on the fourth line. He is going to play as long as he can play and as long as he can get around. It feels like this Saturday is 100% just because they've mentioned it three times, and they go week to week with Brezzo, but they've given specific day for like 2 weeks on Maroon. So I don't see a reason how it isn't. I assume he's probably ready to go now, and they're being extra careful with a full week of practice coming up to really crank him up. And I think I think Brezzo has been very good. I think he's been something very different that the Bruins haven't had maybe for a really long time. I think Maroon's probably pretty similar. Once we see him get out there, he's going to look similar to Brezzo in what he does. So I saw Carlo go down in the third period, and then I saw him walk down the tunnel. Yep. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I don't do that with Brezzo injury. Like, yes, he's a nice piece, and yes, he's important, and yes, I'd rather have him in the lineup, and yes, he would be in my lineup no matter what if he was healthy, but he's not like, oh my God, how are they going to win if, you know, when he goes down the tunnel? So I think we see, you know, I don't know, week to week, it definitely feels like this is going to be that one where playoffs are going to get going, Maroon's going to come back, we're going to forget about Brezzo, and he's just going to show up on the ice. And it'll be like, oh yeah, that was like 5 weeks ago he was injured. And so that, to your point, the week to week is doesn't seem like we're going to see him here to start the playoff series, you know, but he's going to be valubable. It's upper body. Hopefully he can skate lots. Hopefully he can stay in shape lots and come back at a pretty good pace, because he will be valuable if you can work him in late in the first round or in the second round or in the third, whatever it is. You can see, and I think that's where everyone's kind of coming from. Everyone who watches hockey can see that his body type, his skill set really does well in playoffs. So I think that's why we all think that it's important that he gets back in. That's what I think. And you hope that he can, because I think he will be helpful.
Yeah, and part of potentially not missing him is the guys who are in being consistent on a game-to-game basis. Like, we've seen enough from all of them where you're like, okay, you know these guys can play. It's a matter of, you know, one of the best things Brezzo was doing was he was playing pretty consistently night in, night out. I think at one point Montgomery said, like, I think it was his first 13 games he was talking about, and he said there was only one game in there where he thought he was a little off. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any more off nights really after that. So, you know, like right now you look at the lineup and, you know, they move Morgan Geekie up to second line right wing. And it's like, okay, well, Jesper Boqvist has to step up as third line center, which I think you started seeing some signs of that on Saturday. I thought Thursday was kind of a rough night for that line with him, DeBrusk, and Frederick. Thought they turned a little bit of a corner Saturday. That also means you need Johnny Beecher to step up as fourth line center. And if Maroon's in there, he's going to be ready to go. And James Van Riemsdyk's working back from an illness that, you know, he lost weight and his game was obviously way off. Okay, he's got to get back and he's got to be consistent. He's got to contribute. So you miss Brezzo a lot less if all of those guys are stepping up. If you run into, you know, these two guys are off this night and these two guys are off the next night, now all of a sudden it becomes a bigger loss because you're looking at, boy, how do we round out this fourth line? How do we, you know, find a line that's going to be effective every night? Let's go to Tom in Boston here, who has a thought on Bruins playoff matchup. What's up, Tom?
Good morning, everybody. So I'll start by saying this is definitely motivated reasoning, but I think the NHL needs to start valuing the regular season more. The Bruins potentially could win the East, maybe even the President's Trophy, and are on track to play, once again, a team from the state of Florida that is ramping up at exactly the right time. So I don't know if it's 1-8. I don't know if the top seed gets to pick who they play, but they've got to do something, because I'm tired of they're playing, in essence, what it should be the sixth seed instead of some joke team like, I don't know, Washington or Pittsburgh or whoever. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I feel like I'm fighting a losing fight on this one, but I hate the current playoff format. I wish they never went to it. I wish they would go back to just 1-8. because Tom's right. Like, if you look at the standings, Bruins are going to be either the one or two seed, and in the old format, that would mean you get one of your Islanders, Penguins, Flyers, Capitals, Red, all these teams fighting for both the third spot in the Metro and the second wildcard spot. But instead, unless you beat out the Rangers, you're getting the Lightning, who, you know, at least on paper, are clearly a step up from all of those teams. So, listen, the NHL's not changing. We've had this format for a decade now. I don't like it, but it is what it is. Like, that, you know, you're going to get, you're in a tough division, and if you don't finish first in the conference, you're going to be locked into a tough matchup.
Yeah, it's I love 1-8. My bigger thing, even more so, is the reseeding. It drives me crazy that a team could go through and you know, have a layup. But the NHL loves the bracket. They love people, you know, the idea that some people fill out a bracket, etc. It's not changing. And it's part of the luck of the draw now. It's part of winning the Stanley Cup is getting a good draw, getting a good matchup. We saw it in 19. You see it, you know, every year where the one team gets knocked off that you feel like, oh, that second round matchup is going to be so hard. The team gets knocked off. You get to cruise through and you can really parlay that momentum. So I agree. It, you know, at times it's a little stinky. I think there's going to be, you know, You're looking at the Rangers and Carolina, you know, going at it in the second round. I mean, you could argue that's not fun. There's a bunch of different ways you can look at it, but it is what it is. And again, I've been banging the drum, but it is completely useless because it's not changing.
Yeah, I like the 1-8 better. That would put the last three teams that would make it in the East would all be in the Metro, and I'm sure Tampa would rather, you know, not be playing the Bruins in the first round either. So yeah, I kind of stopped even like thinking about it because I know it's not going to change. So I just don't even bother myself with it. But it when you do think about it, it is frustrating when you're one of those top teams and you're drawing Tampa Bay, not an easy team to beat.
Well, and some years sometimes it's even more egregious than this. Like sometimes.
Yeah, it's not that bad this year. Sometimes it really isn't that bad.
The
yeah.
one seed in the division could end up with a tougher matchup than the two seed in the, like, if you're in a weak enough division where that 2-3 matchup isn't really two great teams, like the first wild card could be a better team than the three in your division. So it's very wonky, but the NHL they think it creates rivalries. I guess maybe you could argue that it does, like, you know, with the Bruins view Tampa or Florida as, you know, as much of a rival as they do right now, if you didn't have some playoff series against those teams. I mean, maybe not, but like you could have rivalries with, you face Carolina a couple times, like that can still be a rival. You could have a rivalry with the Rangers or whoever. Maybe you face Pittsburgh somewhere along the way. Like I still think you can create rivalries outside the division. We've seen that plenty in the past, you know, Bruins Flyers in the early, you know, 2010, 2011, in that range. Like, I don't know. I don't think you need to stick to the divisions, but the NHL does. So,
and Tom mentioned, you know, maybe, I know that it sounds crazy, but the PWHL is actually trying it this year, have the top seeded team pick their opponent from, there's only six teams, so they get to pick between the third and the fourth place team. And in the equivalent to the pro to the NHL would be, like, if you're the Bruins and if you win the President's Trophy, you finish first in the conference, you get to choose what wild card team you want to play against. You know, that would be, you know.
That ain't happening.
You know, you get to choose your.
No GM signing up to that. They are not putting their necks on the line to be that team that picks another team. That will never.
And we haven't seen it yet in the PWHL. So I wonder if there's going to be like a taboo thing where you just pick the team that you were supposed to play
anyway, that's the safe play for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, it definitely adds like a fun element to it, but yeah, the PWHL can do that because it's one person or a small group of people in charge of all the decisions. To Razor's point, you're never getting 32 GMs to sign off on that, or you know, 32 owners or governors or whatever. So yeah, all right, we got to catch our next break here. You can call in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We'll be back right now.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
After this,
we're back to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. I'm Scott McLaughlin. And Bridget, I think you had some questions, or at least one question, for Razor Bodine.
Yeah. So I want to do this weekly, actually, because I sit around watching these games and I'm thinking to myself, I wish I could ask Razor this right now, because it's goalie questions that come up. Some of them are stupid. Some of them are like Bruin specific. Some of them are just dumb thoughts that pop into my head. And I'm sure people like myself, who never played goalie and didn't play professionally like you did, probably have some of these questions that you could answer for us pretty easily. So the one that came into my mind this week that I'll start with is, we saw Ullmark and Swayman both have assists on that road trip. Swayman had one against Florida. Ullmark had one against Nashville. And it came to my mind, like, how big of an asset is it to have a goalie that can play the puck well like that? And because really what you're seeing with those assists is they're starting to transition. Is that an underrated part of a goalie's game?
It can be. There's guys that do it much better than others. I think
Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah, Igor's awesome at it. He rips it up the ice. It's more so in the, not necessarily transition, but the breakout. Stopping the puck, making a 6-foot pass, one side of the net or the other, making the right decision on when to rim it. You see a goalie bobble now, or a goalie mishandle, or a goalie putting in a defenseman's skates, with the forechecks being what they are now, is so penal. You end up in your zone for so long, and it inevitably turns into a chance, I feel like, when the goalie doesn't make a good play. So certainly these guys have both gotten much better at it. Linus has always been good at it. Jeremy's really worked hard at it. He was awesome starting kind of last year. In making that 10-foot play to the defenseman, letting them get out of the zone. So it's super important. The assist is kind of secondary. It's kind of lucky a lot of times, especially Swayman's more lucky than Ullmark's even. But Ullmark, like, he wasn't trying to set up an assist there. Those kind of go. You just like getting those, you know, you like hearing your name get called over the yeah, the big board.
But sometimes you see those, like a legitimate pass that goes to, say, your
blue, yeah, a lot line. Of times it's on a line change or the power play, right?
Yes.
That quick up turns into play. That's really exciting as a goalie. You get a couple of those in your career. But again, a lot of it isn't the assist. It's that transition in your own zone.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good were you at that during your career?
I probably worked into a 7. I wasn't Marty Turco, who was a 10, or Martin Brodeur, who was a 10. Those guys changed it. But I also wasn't Roberto Luongo, who couldn't go out and stop it and didn't care. He just wanted to stop pucks. So I was, you know, I was fine at it. I had to work really hard at it, especially when I got up here. It was fast, but I felt pretty comfortable moving it around.
Yeah, you don't, in college hockey, you don't see goalies play the puck quite as much as in the pros.
No, it's a confidence, and I don't think younger goalies work on it enough. They're not good enough skaters a lot of times. So you have to, the guys that are the very best are good skaters, and they get out there and they work on it, and you have to be good at it. Like, you can't not be good at it at the NHL level. At least be a 3 on that scale. You can't be a 0.
You can't be a 1 or yeah.
Unless you're a Hall of Famer like Roberto Luongo. So you have to work at it.
How much did the trapezoid limit what goalies can do? And have we kind of outlived it? Like, it.
Well, it doesn't exist in college. And, like,
you know, it, when you watch leagues that don't have it, it doesn't feel like the game's, like, any worse for it.
I think you could go back. You could get rid of it now. And because the forechecks are, you can't hold guys up anymore. You can't, you know, the game is so much faster. At the time, it was necessary because you would play against Ed Belfour or Marty Brodeur or Marty Turco. And because of the way that you could hook and hold in the neutral zone, you literally would get like 6 shots on goal a game because you would dump it in, they would go out, and they would break it out, and then it would go the other way. Like, it was painful to watch because Eddie Belfour's in the corner making like spinoramas and banking it off boards, and it's like, what are we paying to watch this stuff for? So it was necessary at the time, but now you could probably get away with it. But I think you would be surprised at, you know, guys aren't going to go to the corner, but those 5 feet, initial 5 feet off of the net where the trapezoid is, guys are staying in the net because of that. But if that's not there, they're going to be more aggressive and they're going to get pucks and they're going to rim it. I think we'd be surprised at how much the goalie would start influencing forechecks and breakouts again,
yeah,
really
and,
quickly.
And then that would make that puck playing ability even more important.
It would, and that was like the argument. Well, they're so good at it, then that you should be allowed to have that skill. But if it's ruining the game, it's not. You know, it doesn't work that way. So like the idea of that is good, and that was the argument at the time why we shouldn't have the trapezoid. But I never really sponsored that because again, it was like there was enough guys. If you had 6 guys, someone every night is kind of affecting the game in a bad way or a negative, slow way. So I think that would happen here, too, where, yeah, you would have a couple guys, but those guys aren't going to go and play. It's not like you have to go play. Excuse me. You have to go play it. So that was the other argument. Well, the guys are bad. They'll turn the puck over. There'll be more goals. Well, no, the guy who's bad isn't going. So he's not turning the puck over because he's not even bothering. So the guys are really good. They go out and get it, and they make plays. So I think they'll keep it. It would be interesting to see it go away and see what happened, but I think pretty quickly it would be detrimental.
We saw Allmark pull a spinorama a couple games ago. I don't think it was really his plan, but sort of ended up.
You got to have it there, though. Yeah. Got to have that in the toolbox.
All right, we got to catch our last break here, but hour 2 of Sunday Skate coming up. Call in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We will be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.